Hey everyone, welcome to the Work Time Fun Podcast. I'm your coworker L, and let's get started. All right, on today's podcast, I'm joined by my great co-hosts again. Fellas, if you could do the honor of introducing yourselves.
This is Raymond.
This is Marky.
All right, we got the This Is crowd. This is Raymond, this is Marky. Hey guys, how you doing? What's up?
Same old.
I'm doing good. Hey, my turn. Yeah, I'm doing good. We're finally wrapping up solo leveling.
Thank you for mentioning today's topic. Yes. And yeah, we're just going to be discussing it, you know, our thoughts, how we felt about it, pros and cons, all those kind of things, and lead up to, you know, what potentially is next for us, or if we're going to get into season two, if we're going to do some other things, and yeah, see how that goes. All right, fellas. So I don't know if you have anything briefly that you want to mention, you know, for the past couple of weeks that we've been away and catching up now. Anything that you'd like to add?
Mark, can you go first?
Just X-Men 97. Been watching those. I think they're on episode 3 right now. Yeah, and I've seen all 3 episodes. And it's just been solo leveling and X-Men, really.
Are you enjoying X-Men 97 as much as solo leveling or vice versa?
I'm enjoying X-Men 97 a lot more. It's like, because I was a big fan of the 90s series. Mm-hmm. I grew up watching it, and you know, it's just a continuation of it.
Nice. I mean, I could say the same with me too. Just a lot of nostalgia, a lot of old memories resurfacing, right?
Right. Yeah, no, it was X-Men was big in the 90s, so I mean, it's still big, but yeah. That was the thing. There was no real thing for Avengers as much as it was for X-Men.
Yeah. I think because of X-Men 97, like all the other like original animated X-Men episodes were like, it's got like a 500% increase in viewership on Disney Plus or something like that. Some crazy amount.
Yeah, that's just, I believe it. Wow.
All right. Yeah. And for yourself, Raymond?
Same. Been watching X-Men 97 and, yeah, and solo leveling. I also saw this movie called Fritz the Cat, but I mentioned that last time. And
I wonder what happened there.
You watched it again?
I watched it again to make it relevant.
Okay.
I thought
but just one piece of fun trivia. Mm-hmm. You guys watch Family Matters?
Oh, yeah. You guys remember Family Matters, the old.
Yeah. So the grandma, Estelle Winslow, she's right. One of the voices in Fritz the Cat. She's she has sex with him in the car.
Oh, and, oh no.
It's just really weird. Oh, that's like Grandma Winslow.
I think That's one of the reasons why I cut that from last time. Aside from all the other stuff. But
yeah. No, Estelle Winslow references for this podcast.
Oh, but on another, what's his name? Carl Winslow, the dad, right? What's his real name? Reginald Vell Johnson?
Yeah.
He actually voices a character on the Invincible animated show.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. He's voicing a principal for the main character in his high school, and later becomes a dean of the college that the main character goes to.
I'm glad he's still alive.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, we got those. I mean, it looks like consensus here. X-Men 97, if I had to mention anything about it, I think that's probably what we're going to venture into next. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Oh, yes. X-Men 97.
There you go. Spontaneous decision.
Spontaneous decision.
We all agree.
More like unanimous decision there. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it hits all the nostalgia feels for me. Like, you guys already mentioned it. It's something that we've watched when we were younger, as kids even. And then, you know, see it resurfacing. It's just awesome. It's just hitting all those feels again, especially when you see that it's like reanimated with kind of like today's technology. So it looks a lot smoother, a lot better, sounds a lot better. I mean, don't take it the wrong way, anyone out there, but I kind of feel like some of the original voice cast kind of sound older. You know what I mean? Not exactly as a spry younger versions of their voices from back in the day.
I read an article, I think, the voice of Wolverine and Rogue, they had to re-audition for their roles.
Oh, yeah. I think
to
I heard.
See if they could
Oh, they changed that.
What's that?
Their voices have changed that much. They've been out of that character for so long. I get it.
And I think actors, some of the voice actors, like, changed roles. Like, they're voicing a different character because their voice changed.
Yeah. Oh, I know they had to do some switching around. But yeah,
move some characters around.
The most noticeable for me, unfortunately, is Rogue. Like, I can hear her, like, not sound young. You know what I mean? I don't know how to explain it. Not that I'm complaining too much. I don't care. Whatever. It's good enough, but it does sound aged compared to when I used to listen to the old episodes. So, or it could just be thinking about it, because knowing that it is the same voice actor and knowing what I know now, you know. So I don't know if it's just all in my head. But anyways, that's beyond the point. Yep. Right now, we're going to get into the main topic, which is, of course, Solo Leveling. We've had the pleasure of watching episode 11. That is titled A Knight Who Defends an Empty Throne. And also episode 12, which is Arise, the title of that episode. And so this is kind of a combo. I mean, we'll just kind of go through with it. What did you like? What didn't you like? Is there something that really stuck with you on those episodes? Or is it just another run-of-the-mill anime for you?
Oh, like a season summary or just...
Oh, no, for the two episodes. I mean, we'll get into it. I kind of probably jumped ahead because I do want to talk about the whole season. But, I mean, we'll discuss 11 and 12 individually first. And then talk about those. Yeah. 11, 12, mix, match.
Oh, okay. I thought 11 had the best, or at least the most like visually impressive like action scene.
Oh yeah.
And when he fought the Red Knight, that's probably like probably considered the most action packed episode of the season.
By far,
I never the liked highlight
of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I never liked the action sequences in the show. They seemed pretty, these weren't very impressive. And yeah, this was, I guess, technically impressive to watch. That's the praise I have for episode 11.
A little tonal shift. Yeah, I mean, the whole fight with Knight Commander Igris, the Blood Red, or whatever his name is, Igris for short, it was just, there's so much more attention to detail put into this. I think even the fights, like, you freaking see Igris, like, running up combos on Jinwoo, right? So, aside from the fact that Jinwoo thought this was going to be a piece of cake, you know, cakewalk, stroll through the park kind of dungeon. Only lo and behold, he's not.
For me, I was actually getting like, as like a video game RPG, you know, dungeon crawler player, I was getting like anxiety with the he couldn't level up, so he couldn't get all his health back during the fights, and I was like, oh shoot. So yeah, that was kind of interesting. Oh, he was actually doing everything on a, like, it was like a single run where he had to complete everything, all that, without leveling. Well, he could level up. It's just he wasn't getting the positive, you know, effects of them. So everything was going to be held until he finished the mission.
Gotcha. You're talking about earlier in the dungeon, right? Or earlier part of the quest,
right?
Whatever you call it.
But he could pick up armor parts and those would take effect. But as far as like the leveling up stats, they wouldn't affect him until he finished the mission.
And you kind of noticed that he was kind of fighting. He even mentioned he was fighting all these different styles of enemies, like an armor type, which reminded him of the Casca, the snake that he first fought, right? And also the stealth, like when he fought Kang Taishik.
Yeah.
The stealth rogues, assassin types. Or even before then, the mage types that were throwing fireballs at him.
Right.
It's cool that he got to experience all those things that he experienced back in the past. It's kind of just all resurfacing, kind of summarizing the season for him. Like, oh, remember fighting these kind of guys? There you go. But yeah, I thought that was a little interesting too. Is there a terminology for that? Like when you go into a dungeon or a game and there's no healing enabled? Is there a term for that, or is there something? I'm not too familiar with it in gaming wise.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm not. I don't know the exact term either. But that was kind of interesting. I put myself in that situation too when I was playing, or when I was watching. So
yeah, the The only thing close that I can relate to it is like when I used to play old video games where there was no continue, or you only have a set amount, like Contra, for example, you know, unless you did the code, you know, to get 99 lives or whatever, you only had the 3 lives or 5 lives that you start with. That's something that kind of made me think about that a little bit. Like, okay, it really matters what you're doing because you can't rely on healing or coming back.
Yes.
I think Final Fantasy had certain like dungeons where you're kind of handicapped, where they take away like all your magic points so you can't heal.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure that I feel like I played a couple of Final Fantasies that had that kind of handicap in certain dungeons where they take away all your items.
Right. Nothing works. Right.
So. Yeah. Like you're stuck with just HP or attack.
Mm-hmm. Or and something. Whatever, like, I don't know. Skills and abilities to use, right?
But isn't it like with, I don't know, sorry, we're getting off track, but I mean, like, with Final Fantasy, you can, like, level up, and then once you level up, all your health gets restored.
Right.
Yeah, I guess so.
And it wasn't like that here, and so even when he was leveling up, he couldn't. That's what I
mean. You're just talking about he's not recovering.
Right.
Leveling up.
Oh, not in that dungeon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Not in that quest change. Exactly. Job change quest.
That's what made it like big for me. I was like, whoa, this guy.
Yeah. That's a departure from what he normally is doing.
Exactly.
Solo leveling.
Yeah.
Well, he has a teleport stone that he can like lose.
Yeah. Conveniently lose all the, like, isn't it funny? Every time he tries to use it, it like gets knocked out of his hand.
It keeps holding it out. It's like, hey, maybe I should use this.
Right. And I got like, oh, we gotta move the plot forward, so nope. Can't do that. Conveniently gets knocked out. I mean, I don't know game terminology and all that kind of things about what it relates to that, but yeah, seeing how the stakes kind of went up for Jinwoo in solo leveling, it is just like, this is serious. This is not going to be the easy stroll through a dungeon for him like all the other dungeons he's been through.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting into the point of Raymond, when you talk about him just entering the throne room, basically, where Igris, I was like, holy crap, this looks awesome. Honestly, I didn't know what to expect, but the thing I thought that was kind of funny is like, whenever Igris was running, he would do his arms on his back, you know, the typical like anime run, you know what I mean?
Or like the arms are out or something.
Yeah, like they're like running behind them, and he's just running forward with his arms stretched back. I was like, oh, that reminds me of like Naruto and all the other animes I used to watch. Just, I guess it's easier than having to animate arms moving, I guess. Or I don't know. Is that an animation trick?
I feel like Naruto, didn't he originate that sort of kind of running?
That kind of running? Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of any other anime before then that did something like that.
I've seen anime where they have their arms out.
Mm-hmm.
That's like more of like for comedic purposes.
Oh, but not like a running action, right?
Yeah.
Not normal running action. It's like normally
running, like a fish.
Or they do a T-pose or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that might be it, because that's the first time I was like, what the hell? Why did it? Why do these ninjas have their arms backwards? Wouldn't they want their arms forward, ready to strike? But anyways, I was like, oh, man, okay. I thought that was funny. And then the other funny part was like, oh, Igris just like doing all the combo moves on Jinwoo. Then, I don't know, did you like it better when he was fighting with the sword or when he was fighting barehanded?
Oh, I liked it with the sword because that was a pretty – oh, my bad. So that was – you know, that sword looked like it was ready to be used. And he just put that down. But hey, that's what I get it. Cause he's already overpowered compared to Jin Sungwoo.
Yeah. He was saying that he had the same speed as him, but Igris was hitting way harder. You know, right. His strength was way higher than Jinwoo's. He could feel those punches, feel those strikes just like battering him down. How about you, Raymond? Did you prefer, sword fighting or the hand-to-hand combat?
I'm indifferent. It was just a well animated action scene. Overall.
Mm-hmm.
There's variety and like the impact of the hits looked like it hurt.
They're a little bit more significant. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas in the previous fights he's had, it's just he moves really quick and you see like a flash of light and then. I don't know, like, I guess he does damage while he's doing it. This one, they looks like they spent some time sort of choreographing this fight sequence.
I think in some of the notes that they had, or someone mentioned online, that there was a lot more attention to detail put into this episode, especially for this fight, because they wanted to make sure that they did it right and please the fans. Because if this was like anything else that they were drawing earlier, then yeah, it wouldn't do it any justice. It would just be like, oh, come on. I would rather see it on manhwa, like page, instead of like animated on screen. So this was definitely a delight to see, at least for me. I don't know for you guys.
My only issue is, like, I don't understand how he, like, won.
Oh.
Like, he just overpowered, like, remember he sat on the throne, and then he caught the blade, because I guess Red Knight was about to finish him off.
Yeah.
I know he had the armor hands, but then he just kind of, like, willed himself to win? Is that kind of how it happened?
Honestly, for me, I kind of had to do a little bit more research on that. Because as anime viewers only, which most of us are, except I'll say that I started looking ahead, especially since I bought all the books. I'm kind of looking ahead and, you know, anticipating next season and stuff. But beyond that point, the anime doesn't really do a good explanation about how Jinwoo was able to do that. You're just led to believe, oh, he just caught the sword right before he struck him down. You know, even though it looks like he was all battered and tired and just defeated, almost close to defeat. And it was just
He had the armor. He had the armor hands, right? From the previous fight.
I mean, he could have done that probably any other time. Unless Igra's strikes were just too fast that he couldn't catch it. So the only thing you could think maybe is like, okay, did Jinwoo anticipate that strike? Because, you know, Igra's just held his sword up high and then swung down. So Jinwoo just kind of anticipated catching the sword and then countered him, basically.
I kind of wish they did it differently, where he like outsmarted him, outsmarted the Igris. Because Igris, he was faster, he's stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But I know earlier on, wasn't he like adding intelligence points or whatever?
Yeah.
I thought he was like kind of like outsmart him, like trick him. But he just kind of like willed himself to win.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I initially thought. I'm sorry. But like, when you think about it, I think maybe he baited him, like Elmar was saying. Maybe he was anticipating it, and that was his ace in the hole, or that was he put all his chips in that one basket because he would have died if he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he just that's what he did.
I guess
baited him into it.
Yeah, I guess that's another way to interpret it. I guess. No matter what, he was getting whooped, whether he had his dagger on him with the weapon. He was getting whooped when he was going hand to hand. And the only thing left that he could do was like get up close and do a sneak attack. Basically, that's what he did. I mean, Jinwoo himself said, okay, this was just a pure luck, a chance hit that he just kind of, what did he say? He mentioned something about like, you know, even luck or is a skill or is something, right? You guys remember that line?
He did.
Yeah.
I think it's in the following episode.
Oh, it's the following episode? Okay. Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm getting mixed up with my episodes.
And he's a quick thinker. It showed like when Igris grabbed the dagger and he pulled it out, then Jin Sungwoo, he recalled the dagger back into his hand.
Yeah.
It was like right with the flow of the fight. So he's pretty quick with thinking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like he already knows no one can grab his weapons. It'll disappear off the hands of whoever else touches it besides him. And so he just has to will it back into his hand, you know, grab it from his reappear in his inventory and then just repeatedly jab it into his face, into his eyeball, eye socket, neck, all the vital parts in his head. I think that's like his favorite spot to stab enemies with, right? In the eyeball.
The eyes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess... Is that the most common weak spot for enemies?
Yeah, or like grip them, bear hug them to death.
Bear hug them to death, yeah. If stabbing doesn't work, bear hugging, all the armor types. So getting back to your point, Raymond, yeah, it's kind of chance, kind of, I guess, yeah, his willpower. It was all of that kind of mixed in because he wasn't beating Igris in a straight up fight. That was not happening. He had to pretty much, I guess in a way you could say he did outsmart him. Because he stopped his strike, and since Igris used his weapon, that was fair game for Jinwoo to use his weapon you know, they weren't hand-to-hand combat anymore. They were using weapons. So it gave him the opportunity to do a vital strike, which worked. And he was able to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be said in that kind of way.
Why did he toss the dagger in the first place? Was it because it wasn't working? Or
yeah, because he couldn't strike through his armor. He was trying to hit his armor, and it just wouldn't penetrate.
Because he wasn't aiming for the eyes.
Yeah. Well, because he was too fast. He couldn't reach him. All the strikes he was trying to do was, like, Igris was too fast for him, or just as fast as him.
I see. He's like, I'm going to let you beat me up. Yeah. Kind of like lower your guard.
His lower scar, let it's him like, faint that he was he's weak. Get him closer. Yeah. He's trying to just lure him in.
I meant to get my ass kicked.
Yeah. He did that so Igris can be, because look at this point. Igris had the upper hand. He was so arrogant that he was just gonna defeat Jinwu easily.
Like, especially when honorable, right? Because he threw his weapon aside too.
Yeah. Honorable and also arrogant because he just tossed everything down. Like, oh yeah, come on, let's do this. Let's rumble hand to hand. And then also when he like blasted Jin in the air and then he landed on the throne. And then Igris was all like, okay, slowly walk. He didn't do like a dash. He didn't like go for the kill, you know, like a lunging strike. He walked up to him, summoned his sword to him, and then was going to do a strike as if to finish him off, right? That arrogance, in a way, was his downfall. Because Jinwoo just kind of capitalized on Igris basically lowering his defenses.
Yeah.
At least that's how I can interpret it. That's how I see it. Or that's how I justify it, I guess. And then after that, he defeats him. And we get into not the end of the episode yet. Because we've got the whole second part, I guess. I don't know if you call it second part, but the job quest change didn't finish. And he's all like what the f-? We get into the whole, what do you call it? Unlimited knights showing up. The continuous respawning of knights. Is there another game terminology for that?
Oh, yeah. Like a gauntlet? That's kind of the whole gameplay loop. It's like endless enemies coming out of a portal. You got to destroy the portal to stop them.
Like survival mode of any game type, right? Or endless waves, survival mode, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, something of that variety, of that type in different video games. That's what Jinwoo faced next, I guess, for this.
Or zombies.
Yeah. Kind of like what? Left 4 Dead or any other those kind of zombie games.
Yeah. Usually it is the boss fights where they keep, respawning enemies or goons for you.
Yeah. You never fight Shredder alone. He has like foot soldiers beside him.
So he's looking like he's getting messed up there. And then, oh man, you see Jinwoo like saying pretty much, oh crap. And then end scene, next episode, episode 12, Arise. So we continue on and then he's basically getting his ass kicked again, but it's only because there's an endless waves of knights coming at him, right? I think the big significance there was not necessarily the endless waves of knights and beasts coming at him, but it was all of those kind of ghosts or spirits that were talking to him. You know what I mean? Do you remember those?
But this is episode 12 now?
Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. I don't know if it's episode 12 or I think it was the beginning of episode 12. It was all the people that were just telling him, hey, you know, this is okay. You know, you've done enough. And then finally, it was just like a vision of or a spirit of himself when he was younger. I mean, not younger, but before he got the system, you know, basically it's all of his self-doubt. All of that was just coming out of him and just like saying, hey, you know what? You're just an E-rank hunter anyways. You don't need to go through this. You're just going to die just like you always do anyways. You know, all that kind of self-doubt just beating him down. So it wasn't just more of like a physical beatdown. It was kind of like an emotional beatdown he was getting.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a little bit more impactful in this, you know, beginning part of the episode.
Yeah. I mean, I saw I get the intent. I don't think that scene was, how do I say it? I don't think it was earned from this, you know, entire season. But I get the impact of what they were trying to do there.
Mm-hmm. And not earned in what way or... why not?
I never believed he had self-doubt or that he was the character that this, young Jinwoo was trying to kind of, I guess, expose him as. Like, kind of trying to expose him as like some kind of phony. Like you're always kind of like a coward or something, or you're always weak. Whatever. He was kind of demotivating him. I don't think that he was ever. I don't think his character was ever like that, or his personality was ever really like that.
I think from the first two episodes, he was full of self-doubt. He was full of just like not being enough because he was just too weak of a hunter, too weak of a person to like do anything. Yeah, I kind of get it. We don't have too much of it. We only had two episodes and then that's it. And then we got, you know, the meek Jinwoo for the first few episodes. And then after that, it's just him progressively just getting better all the time.
In those first two episodes, he was showing resolve. Like he was surviving. He was weak, but he was never like, you know, I can't do this, I don't want to do this, I'll always be weak. No, he was like, oh, I'm gonna keep pushing forward, like I have perseverance, I have determination. Like I never saw him as someone who was meek. Mm-hmm. Right, at least, you know, personality wise
maybe not personality
I never saw the self-doubt. You know,
well, I see it as him being weak is just how he accepted himself as being the weak hunter, like the weakest hunter in the world, or that's what he was nicknamed, because he could only do E-rank dungeon. I mean, he could only do low level dungeons without getting seriously hurt. So he persevered, but he always thought himself as potentially the weakest hunter in the world, because that's what he was nicknamed, and that's what the legacy he lived up to, at least in the beginning. I don't know.
I saw it differently. I saw he had a drive.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. But in a point, I mean, kind of just dragging on that. But anyways, so we got all that. He got all that kind of stuff going on. And then he gets saved. He gets saved by the freaking, he forgot to do. Well, not that he forgot to do. It's just that.
Oh, yeah. His daily quest expired or something.
Yep. had to go to the penalty zone because he didn't do his daily quests, his daily trainings. Yeah. It's kind of convenient. But that kind of traces back to, he initially thought that this job change quest was just going to be a breeze. You know, he was going to go in there, finish it up in a couple hours, and then come back out and then finish up his training. So he didn't think anything of it until it actually took him however long it took him to still not be finished and have to go and retreat into the penalty zone. Mm-hmm. Penalty zone, negative, but in this case, it kind of was a positive for him because he was able to pretty much heal up, relax, get better, and then be ready to get back into that dungeon for job change quest, right?
Right.
So, Marky, you got something?
Oh, yeah. Look, yeah. Going back to the, was that inner monologue before he was, you know, how he's getting his butt beaten by those knights and the mages.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is, I thought it's, because I was sensing like he was seeing himself, his old self. But I thought they had that creepy smile from the double dungeon. Those statues. Mm-hmm. I thought when he was seeing himself, they had that same creepy smile. So I was thinking maybe it was the same people that created the system, or whatever. That was actually talking to him, and it was like in pause mode or something. And, and then he was talking to him slowly. He was talking to him in real time, but then. And he knew he was about to die before he went to the failed quest. Those people that were talking, I didn't realize because
Oh no, I was just agreeing with you. Actually, you bring up a pretty good point that I didn't think of myself.
Like, because I saw them as having a creepy smile because when he was talking to himself, supposedly talking to himself, instead it was actually the creators of the system.
Yeah, so it was ghosts or spirits, not necessarily spirits, but it was actually the system, like, you know, showing themselves to
Jinwoo. That's how I saw it. It was just perfect timing. Everything was coincidental. Like, he was destined. He was just destined to get through everything.
Okay. So that kind of brings it back to Raymond's point where it's not earned or it's not really Jinwoo. So it probably be, you could probably kind of pin it as the system taunting him, saying, hey, are you going to get through this, or are you just going to keep yourself as a weak E-rank hunter that you've always been, or are you going to get yourself through this? You know, kind of that kind of push, because he was almost feeling defeated, like he was just ready to almost give up when he was just overwhelmed, right?
Right.
Even though he thought that he was going to breeze through it, he just wasn't. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, that's another good point.
Yeah, and then I guess it took him to the penalty zone.
And he's able to wrap up. And you kind of noticed that the centipedes were all like orange, the titles, the names.
Oh, okay.
So they were... Yeah, they weren't all that strong. They were just like within the same level as him.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it means. It's not red, so it's not stronger than him. So orange, it's about the same level. So
he had leveled up considerably since the last time he went to the penalty.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
It's almost not even a penalty anymore.
It's just another...
it's like a reward. It's like, oh, we'll save you
4 hours.
We'll level up here real quick. Yeah. And
now it just becomes a chore, because if he doesn't do his training, then, oh, man, I have to be stuck in this zone for 4 hours just doing whatever. Yeah. He's going to do some kind of training, whether it's he does it himself or it's forced upon him.
Oh, and they did say, because he did try to take potions right away, right? So when he got into the penalty zone to recover, he tried taking potions, and they said it had no effect because he had such low health. Yeah. I think that's what,
I think the stamina stamina worked. It's just the healing potions wouldn't work for him.
Right. Cause
cause his HP was too low.
So he just had to grind through to the next level to get all his health back or something.
Yeah. And he leveled up another 4, 5, 6 levels. I don't know. So, 4 hours of dungeon grinding the penalty zone, I guess.
Like Rorschach from Watchmen. I'm not in here with you. You're in here with me.
Nice reference there. I think the cool iconic scene that a very cool animated or drawn panel is Jinwoo with his wrapped arm bandage holding the two daggers in his arms, jumping through the air. Oh man, that was so awesome seeing that like animated in this show. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's like one of his famous poses that I just see everywhere, like on social media or whatever.
Is it also in the intro or?
Is it in the intro? Probably.
I don't know.
It's probably in there.
I've been skipping intro.
But... Skipping intro? Come on, man.
I watched like the first 7. And I was like, okay, I can move on to the show now.
It's all the same. Yes.
Oh yeah, he had like enough. He had enough money to buy enough credits to buy that dagger.
The other one, whatever it's called.
Oh yeah, he upgraded his dagger, right?
The Night Killer, the
armor piercing dagger.
Yeah,
it was too easy then.
Yeah,
that's convenient.
It had like beast. I mean, not beast armor type buff attack against armor types.
So yeah, go on.
Yeah, then he fights the mages, and then he learns that the mages are causing the endless stream of knights.
Yeah. So he deducts, I mean, he's using his knowledge, his intellect, not that he's leveled it up, but, you know, just his deductive reasoning is like, okay, he's not gaining any XP from defeating these knights and they keep popping up. So what the hell? And he notices the mages in the far back, they're not casting any, you know, attack spells on him. They're just doing something else, right?
Yeah.
So then he deduces that, oh man, the mages are just conjuring up these knights, these endless waves of knights to attack him. Those are their attacks. And then that's when he realizes, okay, he needs to go after those guys.
Yeah.
And there was like 9 mages or something. I forgot how many mages, but he was just picking them off. So he's starting to close the gap on him.
Yeah. I mean, whatever amount of mages. I mean, he got, once he knew what he had to do. Yeah. I think at the end it's like, oh, 5 left or however many left. Okay. The last three that conjured up that big night golem that was just all the
super golem.
The super golem. And then when he defeats them, you notice like it all just shattered into all the different night pieces. So it's just all knights like kind of glued together or whatever that constructed that golem.
Is that golem in the intro? In the intro along with Igris? I'm not sure if you guys caught it. You know, this golem in the intro.
No, that's different. I can't.
Is it from the fourth episode or something like that?
I wonder if it's supposed to be, but it's like he fights that golem. That's the one that's in the city, right?
Yes. So I didn't know if it was that one or that golem that he fought in the dungeon. So
I have no idea. No, I don't think it's in the dungeon because it's in the city. Like he fights that golem in the city with people watching him.
Gotcha.
So I'm assuming that's going to be an animation for a panel later on. Or, I mean, for a scene later on.
Okay. No, you know the music intro.
Yeah, yeah. That, I know episode, what you mean. Yeah.
Right.
The intro to the anime.
Right.
When he fights that big golem, it's in the city. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is way different than than the one that he first struck down, like what, episode three or whatever, or early on in the episode in the season when he just one-shotted that other golem. This one's a lot different because he slices down to destroy it. Yeah. So that's my assumption. This could be like a season two thing or whatever later on. Ooh. Anyways. What about that transition? Oh, man. He's becoming... what did he say? What the heck is this? A necromancer, right? I don't know if you want to talk about anything else before then, but he was all reluctant to become a necromancer, right? Because he's like, I didn't put any skills into intellect or intelligence. What the heck am I getting that for?
I like how he says no, and then the computer or whatever is like, no, say yes. Maybe give him a second chance.
It's like, are you sure? This is a secret hidden class.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you sure? It's like, oh, okay. I guess it wants me to be a necromancer.
System admin's like, what are you doing? Or CIA's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
No, you idiot.
It's like, no, accept
it's
it.
Like taking say the controller away from the kid. It's like, let me put it.
Are you sure?
I mean, if they wanted to have comedic flair, he could have just kept saying no. And then the system would just keep popping up messages, not accepting the no.
So I really like this whole sequence. Because you see him smiling.
Oh, which part?
I think when he says yes, right? And he starts like playing with it.
Yeah.
And he starts, you see like the sort of like, I don't want to say evil smile, but he's like smiling as he's doing it. Like he's getting kind of giddy.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of wish like, well, we'll talk about the season summary later, but like I liked that where it's like, we're not taking this serious anymore. Like it's kind of, now this, it felt like it's more fun.
Oh.
You know, like, oh, this, he's having fun now. Like, and I kind of wish this whole show was. Oh, look at that. But I like that whole sequence that, you know, I guess the last 5 minutes of that episode.
I saw it as he saw his potential. He said, oh, I'm about to OP. I'm about to be OP. You guys are screwed. Yeah.
Especially right after when he got all of those guys. And
okay.
I don't know if I'm skipping ahead, but when he was able to resurrect or call upon those knights the first time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's after he accepted the giant job quest change. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's when he becomes necromancer and gets on knights. Actually,
and he gets Igris.
Yeah.
And then he asks like 3 times.
Because of what he did, you know, it kept saying, oh, bonus applied for like not using teleportation, for completing the dungeon, for having over 50% life, you know, like,
and it was the 4 hours because it was survive as long as you can. That was the mission, right?
So. Survive as long as you can. And he actually ended up defeating all of the monsters. So bonus after bonus after bonus,
right?
And which in awarded him, I guess, the upgraded necromancer to Shadow Monarch, which I've never heard a necromancer be referred to as a Shadow Monarch, but I think this is leading into future storytelling.
Yeah.
Well, without revealing too much, because I kind of went ahead myself, but
right.
Yeah, it changes like the dynamic of like the show. Like now he's not having to solo level.
All right, he did make that.
Throw an army in and get his HP or XP that way.
I like how he mentioned that. Yeah, I won't be solo leveling anymore.
It's how to do it.
Yeah.
And that's,
he can raise an army.
That'll changes.
The Darkness Army. And then, oh man, I love that ending scene when he goes up to Igris and he just has that line when he fails. He fails first time. Like, damn it. Then he fails the second time.
Oh, he says, arise. Yeah.
But then before he goes, tries for a third time, you know, he gives that little spiel to Igris. Like, dude, come on, man. Are you just going to stay here and get rusted in this dungeon by yourself? Or you want to be a fighter with me? Like, I'm here. You know, fight for me, basically.
Gives him the best sales pitch.
Yeah. It's like, dude, you're a fighter. I'm a fighter. Let's go do this thing. You're just going to be a rusted bucket of armor here waiting for a king that's never going to come back. Right?
Right.
And, you know, does he end with a smile? Like, he's like, He's like kind of really getting a kick out of it now.
Yeah.
Or was that just, was that beforehand?
Oh yeah, this is the part when Icarus he gets summoned, and then he goes up to the other knights, and then he kneels before Jinwoo, and then his eyes glow, and he's just smiling of his new shadow army, whatever you call it. Yep, he smiles. Yeah. He's ready, and then it ends with the whole scene with the team going to Jeju Island for reconnaissance or whatever, right?
Yeah, they kept cutting back to this B plot. Whether going back to that island from the
between him and scene. Also the chairman guy talking about, oh, that was a cool like little right now with this moment, you know, there could be a new hunter that's awakening and, you know, being more powerful or whatever. That's what we need. And then it all cuts back with Jinwoo like raising his army as a new shadow monarch.
Yes.
All right, cool. Well, anyways, yeah, those are all the episodes. I mean, just the two. And then, yeah, just kick ass. And then right after this in Japan, actually, they aired the preview for season two. They confirmed that season two
is going to air. Yeah, but it's all clips of season one, wasn't it?
Yeah, primarily, except for the very last scene where he puts his finger to his mouth to like hush, you know, that hush motion. Nice. If you notice, I have it up on screen right now, but he's wearing this coat with like fur lining and stuff. So it's going to be
buying stuff for himself.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a cold area. I kind of admittedly, I know what's going to happen next. So I really can't say that's spoiling it. As long as we're keeping this to season one anime only. So,
yeah.
But then seeing what I see, it's like, oh man, we're going to be in for some fun in season two.
Yeah.
All right. With that being said, let's overview whole season. How are you guys doing? What do you guys think?
Yeah, no. Yeah, overall, season one was great. It kept getting better and better. Definitely saw the change. I saw the change in the character progression with Jin Sung-woo. So yeah, like Raymond was saying at the end,
is it Jin Sung-woo? Are you saying it wrong?
I'm saying it wrong. Sorry, Jin Sung-woo.
For a guy that loves this anime, he sure does say the name wrong a lot.
Did I say Cho? Okay.
What is it? It's Sungjin, right? Sungjin Woo.
So think of it like this: I guess in Korean they say the last name first, Sung, and then his first name or regular name is Jin Woo, JNWOO.
It's also like China, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I don't know naming conventions in all the other countries. Just only what I'm watching now. So Sungjin Woo, Sungjin Ah.
I like Jin Sung-woo. Sounds better.
Oh, I like Goku, Vegeta. Just simple names like that. No, just kidding. Anyways, season one, yeah, was great. Can't wait for season two, which is confirmed.
Yeah.
Raymond?
Probably next year. Oh, overall, I'm kind of not really into it, but there are some high points. I went to the Reddit thread on the anime subreddit. And someone mentioned, like, hey, you know, I'm not quite understanding the appeal of the show. It said something like, the characters are really dull and they're in and out. The main character himself, a kind of one note, there's not much of a transformation outside of, you know, him leveling up. And the responses were like, can we just enjoy this show without someone criticizing it? I'm like, okay, that's kind of what this is.
I guess.
It's like, don't bring that in here. We like the eye candy. And, you know, they kind of downvoted him or her, like, out of a way. So,
yeah, whichever. Opinions are dime a dozen. I mean, I don't go into Reddit figuring out if I like something or not. That's just for random ass internet people to figure out themselves. Yeah, there'll be.
Well, I mean, the point was for discussion.
Yeah.
Right? But they weren't allowing that kind of discussion.
Well, if you're going did it go into a solo leveling thread or something? Full of like, you know,
it was diehard fans. Yeah, I think he or she started his own thread.
A thread, but within like a solo leveling. You know, I don't know how you do Reddit, so I don't understand it.
Oh, no, it's specifically the anime subreddit.
Okay,
there's a solo leveling subreddit separate, which I think I don't go to because they allow spoilers.
Okay.
The anime one, they don't. They're pretty strict about.
Oh, okay.
No spoilers from the.
I remember you comic. Mentioning something about that.
I don't hate the show. I just some parts didn't work for me. But you know, I did like the parts that people liked. I thought were enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And in hindsight, I wish this show didn't take itself so serious, because I think it would have been more fun. And I think the show should have been more fun.
Okay. I mean, you are only in season one. I mean, even of season one, it's only 12 episodes, which isn't even like a full season of normal anime. So
it's a lot of TV, though.
Yeah, TV, sure, but not like 20, 30 minute episodes of anime. Anime is usually in the 20 range, 24 range, or 20 plus episode range.
Yeah, they're either 13 or 26.
Yeah.
Or Netflix style. What was the other anime we watched? Pluto was only 10.
Yeah, but those were one-hour episodes. Yeah.
That was a grind.
Yeah. So that was a whole different beast. But
yeah,
actually, you bring up a good point. I figured out a new word, I guess. I never knew. Core, C-O-U-R, or quar. I don't know how to pronounce it. I don't know if it's French. But anyways, it means quarter. A lot of different anime places or sites, people online at least, they're calling it like core one. This is quarter one. Or season one, I guess, according to Crunchyroll.
Why is it French? Why are they using the French word?
Instead of saying quarter, they say core. So
okay.
It's just shorter because less things to say.
Sure, whatever. Sure, sure.
But anyways, so you know, in a core in anime, in regards to anime at least, it's in the 10 to 14 episodes range, lasting for about 3 months. So this is kind of like what it is. And I was having a discussion with Marky. You know, we were talking earlier before we recorded. About okay, so we know season two is confirmed, but when is it going to air?
Right next year.
Yeah, I mean, there was some discussion online. I don't know. I know Marky was seeing it because he was talking to me about it, right, Marky? About season two maybe being at the end of this year.
Right, that's what I heard. But
yeah, hopefully. So I mean, if that happens, awesome, because we get to continue the story like even sooner before we forget about everything, but. The other counter to that is that they didn't call it like a season one part two or season one part one, season one part two. They're calling this a completely new season. Like in our understanding, like at least my understanding, like in American shows and stuff, when you talk about season, it's just like one year of a show or whatever, right? And so when you think of a new season,
it doesn't run the whole year. It just runs
not that it runs the whole year, but you know, like for this season, you know, this year. You have one season. Then when you want the next season, it's going to be next year, right? Like more or less, you know.
Eventually. Typically, I think Netflix. Yeah. I think Netflix kind of broke that kind of convention.
Did they? I don't know. Did they make seasons? They
Voltron had like three seasons in 1 year. You guys remember the Voltron cartoon?
Break splitting up the individual seasons.
But is it still season one, or was it season one, two, three?
They called it season six, season seven, and they were like in the same year.
I guess. I never watched it, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, I was thinking more like, you know, how Attack on Titan broke up that final season
into
like different parts.
That's what they actually called it in different parts, right?
Right.
To break it up. While it was still the final season part one, you know, final season part two, well, you know, whatever. Like, for as long as it ran for like 2 years, final season, you know?
Yeah. But maybe they have seasons. Maybe because they want to complete the arc.
Mm.
Maybe that half season doesn't complete it, so they have to do part one, part two.
Yeah,
but then maybe it's like a storytelling thing.
That's why it's all speculation. I don't know, Marky. You have Crunchyroll, right? You've seen other animes in here. Have you seen if season one, two, three, whatever in animes are like also within a year?
Yeah, no, not that I remember. Okay, it happening in the same year. Usually, it'd be like the next year.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just the point I was trying to make is, I mean, I don't want it to be next year. I want it as soon as possible, at least for me. Okay, so Raymond, he doesn't care. Not so much, right? But for myself, Marky, you know, we want this next season like, as soon as possible, like tomorrow, right? Or yesterday. We wanted it yesterday already, right?
You're right.
Yeah.
Netflix kind of spoiled us with releasing the entire, like, series or season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all at once. Hey, you know, not weekly.
I guess. I mean, if you're watching that much shows, but from what we discussed earlier, it only sounds like you're only watching two shows. So it doesn't really matter at that point.
Well, I can move on to the next episode. Unlike, you know, Solo Leveling, I can only watch that one episode that week. I can finish Castlevania or something in the whole week. I don't have to watch it in one day.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on board with the show, you would prefer the Netflix binge style of like delivery, right? But if you're not into the show, I mean, you can wait a week for another 20-minute episode.
I think it brings up another point. I feel like Netflix dumping a whole season at once kind of hurts the show, in my opinion.
Oh, because it takes longer for the production?
No, because if you're dumping it all in once, what gives anyone any inclination to watch it besides those that just binge everything?
I mean, that was like one of the selling points for Netflix.
Yeah, that's why. That's kind of popularized, like, binging in general, right?
I guess, yeah. TV, I mean, that's binging. How they get to people, just to consume and not think about anything. But then when that happens, it's like, it's two-sided. If you really like something, okay, you'll binge it all. If you didn't like something, then you won't really get into it.
I think the negative aspect of dumping all their shows in one go is that they don't get to space out their schedule, their release schedule.
There's that, and there's no build-up to each episode. It just feels like you're watching one long movie. Like, instead of like having each week, like for me, the anticipation of like, oh, what's going to happen next, you know, in the next episode of, say, like The Mandalorian on Disney Plus or whatever show does a weekly release instead of binged.
That's valid. I mean, part of the, like, I guess pre-internet when TV was, new shows were once a week, you'd watch an episode and it was meant to garner a discussion like among your peers for like the next 6 days.
Yeah.
Right. That's how TV was envisioned.
Hang out with your friends, hang out with your coworkers. Keep
talking about it until the next episode and you have like these little watch parties.
Have a water cooler talk, right? Water cooler discussion, all those kind of
things. Yeah, I don't talk to my coworkers, but I get it.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Not necessarily coworkers, but
you know, some people, we don't want to talk to other people. We don't want to watch it all ourselves and maybe just discuss it online. But yeah, there is a reason why, you know, Disney Plus spaces it out outside the release schedule. I think it's to have conversation around the next episode.
Builds more hype, more viewership.
Game of Thrones was really good at this.
Yeah. Oh, hell right?
Yeah. Every Game of Thrones episode was an event.
Right.
Oh, that even brings me up to another point, but I'll save that for another time. Their other show, the one I recommended to you guys on chat, Three Body Problem.
Three Body?
Yeah. That's actually from the directors of Game of Thrones, David Benioff and D.B. Weiss.
Yeah, I remember those names.
Yep. They're the same guys that's also in charge of Three Body Problem. Were they Lost Problems. Guys? No, Lost was...
Who were the two guys who did Lost?
Was it two guys that did Lost?
Well, J.J. Abrams left after like one season, and then these two guys took over.
Oh.
Because they were at Comic-Con every year, and when Lost was huge.
Oh, probably could have been them. I don't know who did the after. I just remember J.J. Abrams being the creator or director or whatever.
Yeah, he didn't do much. He did that once, I think, the first season, and then
he Jeffrey Lieber, huge. Damon Lindelof?
Yeah, those names sound familiar.
Okay, other names. I'm not too familiar with the, what's it called? History of D.B. Weiss or David Benioff, whatever their names are. So
yeah, well, they're different people. So
yeah, or their work history. But anyways, so those kind of things. And then kind of turning it back in, I'll see how I'm going to cut this up and then kind of make sense of it. But all right, season 2, Solo Leveling. I mean, when is it coming out? Who knows? Are we into it? Raymond, you said you're... not really anticipating
guys are watching it, I guess I'll be watching it too.
I kind of want a little bit more enthusiasm out of it, so we'll see. I can leave you out of it. Marky, yourself?
Yeah, I'm going to finish it. I'll definitely watch season 2.
Okay. And then me, myself, hell yeah. I wanted this yesterday ever since the last episode finished. I mean, like I mentioned before, I did get the manhwa, the comics, so I'm going to be reading those books.
Have you started?
Kind of. I've seen some online copies just so I don't bend my books, but
trying to keep them mint?
Yeah. Nah, I mean, they're all messed up anyways. They're just paperback copies and they weren't really shipped very well, so it doesn't matter anyways. Oh. I'll read through them.
Yeah, I don't want to like at this point, I don't want to like spoil myself or anything. I know it's a power fantasy, so I know what to expect, but I don't want to spoil it for myself now.
That's the only thing, because I've talked with other people who actually read the manhwa or have finished the story completely.
Right.
And then for them, they're not really enthused. Like some aren't really enthused about the anime because they already know what's going to happen. So
they just start comparing the manhwa. Yeah.
So, but then, like, that's one person's experience. And then other people I see online are like, hell yeah, you know, I can't believe they did this or they animated this way. Right. I think that's where I'm at in this camp. Because I remember back in the day when I was watching Naruto Shippuden, I would actually get the manga copies online that you could find and then jump ahead of the story. I was like, oh man, I can't wait for this part of the story to evolve into an animation. And then I love watching the animation after already knowing what the story is going to be about. But just seeing it animated just brought it to life for me. So I'm in that camp, if that makes sense to you guys.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Cool. That's where we're at. I mean, I love the season. I can't wait to have more of it in animation form, not just manhwa. But I'm going to promote the manhwa too, since I did buy all the books. And that's what I'll be doing until season 2 comes out. So, yeah. That's pretty much most of it. I think the only thing that's left is discussing what's going to be next for us, fellas, right?
Yeah, off the air, right?
Yeah, off air, but we kind of know. All right. Anything else or last words for you guys?
Yeah, I saw Fritz the Cat. My review is on Letterboxd. What's that?
Oh, nothing. Sorry.
My Letterboxd account is Paid Lunch Break, capital P, capital L, capital B. I reviewed Fritz the Cat, and I didn't like it, but I will continue watching these Ralph Bakshi movies as we go through solo leveling episodes. Oh, no, that's done. Never mind. Yeah, Letterboxd.
All right, last thing for me. I don't know if I'm going to mention it, but I do have some things in the works, and as soon as I get more of that stuff solidified, then I will be mentioning it. So, but until then, I think that's it. So I hope you all enjoyed listening to us. I hope you all enjoyed our podcast. So until next time, have a fantastic day. Hey guys, thanks for listening to our show. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback for us, you know, we greatly appreciate that. If you can send us an email to worktimefundpodcast@gmail.com, or you can send us a message at X, you know, formerly known as Twitter, and our handle is @worktimefundpod. Thanks again.